It was fascinating. You know, what I couldn't help doing was comparing the two conclaves, the one in 2005 and this one in this past few days. The main difference, of course, being that in 2005, there were only two cardinals who had actually been to a conclave before, whereas this time there were over 50 who had done it before. So that it created a very different expectation and a different atmosphere, I think.
Can you describe the atmosphere?
The atmosphere was one of anticipation, I suppose. There was also an atmosphere of who is it going to be, because I think in the fact that we had had quite a few days of exchanges in the congregations of the cardinals meant that there were a lot more questions that had been put on the table, and therefore possibly more candidates that people would have suggested in the way they voted. And indeed, that's how it turned out. There were quite a lot. The first vote was rather spread out.
How did you feel when Pope Francis was announced?
Very, very, very touched by the fact that when he answered the question, the first one, do you accept? And he said, oh, yes, even though I'm a sinner, I do accept.
Do you really think he'll be a reformer?
I don't think that's the reason why the Pope is elected. I think he's going to be a leader. And the way he leads will help others to reform themselves. I don't think he's going to come in and say, you've got to change here and you've got to change there. He's already showing by his own actions that he is changing himself and doing things in a different way. And I'm sure that's going to catch on.
Do you not think there is radical reform needed within the Catholic Church?
Why would you say that?
Because obviously, many would refer to the mismanagement of sexual abuse cases. They would.
Just hold on now. You know, that's what I get. I get rather. Would I say upset when I hear people making generalizations like that? How do you, when the cases have been now referred to the doctrine of the faith, and the doctrine of the faith is working flat out in handling these cases? I don't know how anyone can say in this day and age that the cases are actually still being mishandled.
Well, because
it may have happened in the past. It may have happened in the past when no one had experience on it. But I think since Pope Benedict, when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger at the office, and he was the Doctrine of the Faith office, and Pope John Paul said that all cases should be referred to the Doctrine of the Faith. Since then, I don't think there are grounds for saying that the cases are being mismanaged.
I think there are many victims who would legitimately argue that they don't really care if the church gets upset, or, with all due respect, you get upset. They have had to wait for justice for sometimes many decades, and that the justice is only coming now and the church is only handling it now after media pressure, not because the church wanted to, not because they felt a moral compulsion to do so.
That may be your opinion, but I don't think it tallies with the facts.
Well, what are the facts? Why do you think the Catholic Church is handling it now?
Well, I'm a bishop who has had to handle cases, and I know that when I got I followed the protocol that we had developed, went through every step of the protocol according to the way it had been at that time was seen to be the best practice. And I really would resent it if somebody said to me, you mishandled that case.
Well, what was the protocol that you followed? You had been given evidence of abuse within the church?
We handled cases where people had come forward and said, I was abused by Father so-and-so. And the protocol said, these are the steps that have to be taken in order to establish whether this allegation is true. Once the allegation is true, other steps then have to be taken. Now, what other way can you deal with something of this kind?
But we've seen that even when the church had concrete evidence that allegations were true, some of those people remained within the church. Some of those people did not go to prison, were not investigated by the police, were moved within the church.
That depends on what country you're in. For instance, in our country, in South Africa, there was no way you could, I as bishop, could have accused somebody and reported the case and made a case with the police. It would have to be the victim themselves who would have to make the case against the person, and only then could the justice system kick in. So I don't see how you can say that if the victim then said, we don't want this thing to go to the police, how can you then say the church is mishandling the thing by respecting the victim's own request?
So, for example,
well, I think we've got to be fair and not generalize.
Oh, of course, and that's why
you've got to actually have cases in point and follow them through from the beginning to the end before you can say this case was mishandled, that one was handled properly.
And that's why I'm really appreciative of your time this evening, Cardinal, because you're someone who had to deal with specific cases. So when you dealt with those specific cases, what actually happened with some of the priests involved? Were they banned from ever having contact, for example?
No, some of the priests went according to the wisdom of the time, the best information that we had from psychologists. They went for treatment and have been under treatment, went for treatment, came back and have been under, personal surveillance and have functioned quite normally ever since. Others left the priesthood, they were laicized, but it depended on each case being handled differently because of the people's conditions were different.
And those would be priests who had abused children, would they?
That's right, yes.
And what type of treatment did they receive?
There were centres like St. Luke's in America, where it's deep psychological therapy and all that kind of stuff, which at the time the people said this was actually something that could help. It could help to control the condition. It mightn't cure the condition. But we know since that those very same centres have said, look, the success rate of treatment is such that you have to remove these people completely from the priesthood and not put them back into positions of authority.
And those priests, and it's really fascinating this actually, those priests who received treatment, who you were aware of, did they have further contact with children after treatment?
No, that was one of the conditions that they would not.
So how did they conduct their priesthood?
I think you seem to be giving the impression that when a bishop handles a case, he's doing it recklessly, without due attention, without due care for the welfare of children. Nothing could be further from the truth.
But usually people receive treatment if they are ill, if they have an illness, not because they have abused and have engaged in criminal activity. Those type of people usually go to jail.
What do people go to jail for? Isn't it to be rehabilitate them in society?
But they don't get sent to hospital. They don't get treatment.
Why not? I mean, I'm sure there are people who get put into psychopaths who are in committed crimes that are put under treatment.
Do you think?
At least that's my experience of it. That people don't just get put into jail punitively, but there are efforts to rehabilitate them.
Yeah, but the point,
and provide them with the kind of medical, mental, psychological care that will have to rehabilitate them.
But do you believe, Cardinal, that these priests who receive treatment deserve to be punished?
Look, if you are acting out of a defect in your own character, are you culpable? Are you totally culpable that you must be punished? Or are you simply ill that you need to be treated and you need to be cured?
So you do not think a paedophile needs to be punished?
Well, look, what is paedophilia? It's a condition. It's a psychological condition. It's a disorder. What do you do with disorders? You've got to try and put them right. Sin is a disorder. In other words, we should say all sinners don't even try to come to confession because you're going to fall back into sin again. And that's not the reality of what the church is about.
So do you believe, even in this day and age, Cardinal, that it is okay for a paedophile to be treated and not punished?
Look, I don't think you're understanding me. What are you punishing?
Punishing someone
for... If I as a normal being choose to break the law, knowing that I'm breaking the law, then I think I need to be punished. But if you tell me that somebody who's got a psychological condition, let's take, for instance, manic depressive...
No, let's take a paedophile. No, Cardinal, let's take a paedophile.
Paedophilia is something that you seem to have a very simple answer to. From my experience, paedophilia is actually an illness. It's not a criminal condition, it's an illness. And that is from what I get from psychologists who have helped us to deal with cases.
So,
in fact, I would tell you one thing, that I know of at least two of the priests who became pedophiles or committed acts against children. Whether they're pedophiles now is another thing. I'm not in a position to judge that, because I think that needs the expert opinion. Who had been abusers, had themselves been abused as children. Now, don't tell me that those people are criminally responsible, like somebody who chooses to do something like that. When they themselves had been abused as children, they then abused other, as adults, they then abused children. I don't think you can really take the position and say that person deserves to be punished.
Really?
Because he was himself damaged.
Really?
Yes.
So you feel...
I think you see, when you come to a case like this here, you should actually do your research much more thoroughly, because...
Cardinal, with all due respect, Cardinal, I have spoken to Cardinal over many, many years to many victims.
Sorry?
I have spoken over many years of my career to many victims of abuse. Now, what you're saying this evening is that if someone has been abused, you can understand why they might abuse themselves and they should not be subject to a criminal investigation. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You're putting words in my mouth.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is, can you then describe that person as a criminal?
Yes.
If that's the damage that's been done to them.
Yes, you can.
Damaged,
yes, you can.
By the abuse that they've done, that they've received. Now, you can't tell me that that person is the same as somebody who chooses to abuse children.
Any person, Cardinal, who abuses a child is a criminal. Why are you suggesting otherwise?
I'm not suggesting. Oh,
you
my
are.
Goodness.
You're, sa-
this,
you're saying...
This conversation has gone long enough. You are putting words in my mouth that I have not spoken.
Well, just for clarity, because I do want to be fair to you, and I'm sorry if I've misrepresented you. So,
you are
for
very,
clarity.
Very, very offensive in the way that you are trying to imply that I'm not taking this thing seriously.
Well, no, I think you're taking it very seriously. But for clarity, if someone has been abused and they then go on to abuse a child, do you view that activity? Is that activity criminal activity or not?
I cannot pass a judgment on that. That is a medical, that's something that the medical people have to pass a judgment on. Whether this person can be held criminally responsible is something that they are in a qualified position to make a judgment, not me.
And do you think...
I mean, why do you have people going to court and that the court declares them medically unfit to stand trial? Now, is that not saying that in some instances people have committed crimes, but because they have not been in the full control of their faculties, they have not been therefore found to be fit to stand trial for that as a criminal offense? And what I'm saying is that in one case at least, I know that the priest who had been abused himself, and when he found that this was something that was wrong in his character, he asked to be laicized.
When he was caught, or after he did it?
Doesn't matter. When he realized that this was his condition, he asked to be laicized.
Of course it matters. It's a huge difference, Cardinal, if someone asks to be laicized after they've been caught, or whether they present themselves asking for help. There's a huge difference, isn't there?
I don't think you are really serious about this conversation, because you're trying to push me into a corner. You're trying to get me to say things that are going to go according to the way you would like them to go. And I don't see what point there is in carrying on.
Honestly, okay.
If you really wanted to, you were asking me about the Pope. That was my understanding about this conversation.
Sure.
It was going to be about the Pope. Now you've diverted it onto something which is, in my experience, I can't speak for what you're talking about, Ireland or Europe or England.
Sure.
I can't speak to you. I can speak about the cases that I've had to deal with.
And can I say, sir, that
I'm giving you my clear understanding, my clear way of dealing with those cases.
Can I say, sir, that I do respect you, and all I'm trying to do here is to get an insight into the... Because sexual abuse and how the church handles sexual abuse, this we can agree on, is a huge issue. And all I'm trying to do is get an insight, because you've been there, I haven't, and you've had to handle some of these cases. And I'm only trying to reflect some of the questions that maybe some of the people at home will be thinking. For example, do you think there
is
any...
You are actually trying to say that I'm minimizing the seriousness of the case.
Absolutely not. Well, let me make it clear.
Somebody was offended, was committed an offense against a child, is not a criminally liable. I'm not saying anything of the kind. I'm saying I'm not qualified to say whether they are or not.
Do you feel, Cardinal, that the media has been unfair in representing the church over,
yes, I
over
do.
Sexual abuse?
I'll give you an example of why. For instance, I've been asked in these last few weeks, isn't it a pity that Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI's pontificate, has gone out on such a controversial note? Look at all the way the sex abuse cases have been mishandled. Now, I've challenged journalists. And I said, look, before you make that statement, just go and inquire into what Cardinal Ratzinger did as head of the Doctrine of the Faith, and what, as Pope, what he has done in order to allay some of the concerns that have arisen over sex abuse cases and how these have been handled. And if you do that research, you will find that it was precisely because bishops were not able to handle cases that Pope John Paul said all cases, once it's established that there are good reasons to believe that a child has been abused, those cases are to be referred to the Doctrine of the Faith. There, I'm living here at St. Isidore's, and here there's one of the friars who's full-time working on those cases. So they're being handled as efficiently and effectively as they possibly can.
Thank you so much for spending so much time with us. I really appreciate it, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Cardinal.
Okay. Bye-bye.